All right, I'm going to get cake.
That's a lie.
No, I have cake, really.
What kind of cake?
Chocolate cake, white icing, homemade.
Ah, screw that.
Chocolate cake!
XB doesn't like chocolate cake.
Then you're wrong.
Yellow cake or nothing.
You are wrong.
Unless it's red cake. Red cake's good.
Red cake's good, too. I haven't made one of those in a while.
Red cake turns your poop red.
It does.
It's going to be one of those conversations again.
It's going to be poop time!
It's time for poop.
It's time for special pooping.
Oh, you gotta save that.
I am.
Yes. All right, I'll be back.
Mateo, ready?
And now it's time for another superhero time. With your hosts, XV.
I've lost my screw.
Hey, Mickey.
Bigger and better dicks. Shit, that's the mantra quote.
Paladin.
Roger Rabbit.
Ken.
LOL.
And Fort Max.
As always, kill Hitler.
It's Morphin time!
Well, it's superhero time. I'm XV. Hey Mickey is out on a contract dispute this week. But we're joined by Paladin.
Hello.
Fort Max.
Hello.
JD Church.
Good luck.
And Ken is in the bathroom. So, what's news?
Ken's in the bathroom?
Yeah, Ken's in the bathroom. So
that's pretty good news.
Well, it's
anyway, different kind of news.
It's better than if he was in his chair, you know. Because then there'd be a big mess to clean up. This way it'll just, you know, go down the hole.
He's been in there for like 45 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah, well.
He took his phone, though.
I'm sure he'll be fine. So, what's news?
Well, like we said last time, a couple of the new Figuarts went up for pre-order.
So, what was it this time?
Sword Form and Stronger.
Ah, right.
And amazingly, they did not sell out in 12 minutes.
Love that song.
That's... Maybe everybody still likes their Sochaku Henshin sword forms.
And maybe people don't actually want the inflatable Bug Man.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking Stronger is going to be an item of limited interest. Because, I mean, you could even still get the... SIC Stronger set pretty easily.
I'm going to guess that has nothing to do with the Black Eyed Peas.
No, it has to do with a boy in a thong.
Oh.
Yeah, well.
Oh. Appealing to the Mambla audience.
You weren't here that week.
Be thankful for that.
Okay.
Good times.
Really. Anyway, if Stronger doesn't sell well, that means they may take a long time to release another Showa-era design.
Okay.
Well, who do they have left?
X?
X, Rider-Man, Z-Cross.
Yeah, see, Rider-Man's going to be difficult, though, because they don't seem to like doing human faces.
It's only half of a face.
I know, but, I mean, that makes it a little easier, but it's still going to be something of... It's going to be kind of problematic for them, I think.
Oh, and Super One.
Nobody remembers Super One.
He did more than Z-Cross.
He's really not that super.
Everyone did more than Zed Cross.
And Stronger's not that strong. We've established that.
But is X really that X?
He is, thanks to Starfish Hitler.
Yes, he is. Somehow we need to get Starfish Hitler as a figure. Forget Kamen Rider X.
Yeah, him and Kamen Rider G.
This is the part of the show where I always want, like, a translation book.
Okay, well, Kamen Rider Zero powered by booze.
Ooh. And I could be powered by booze.
And Starfish Hitler is probably pretty self-explanatory, right? No? Okay, hang on a minute. I can fix this. Starfish Hitler.
Could I type it in? Will it work?
No. Anyway, G's Morpher is a bottle of wine and a bottle opener.
It's right there. It says Starfish Kamen Rider X.
He's Starfish Hitler.
That is a Starfish Hitler.
It certainly is.
I mean, no fooling.
And he has SS moves.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was one of the generals
Starfish Hitler Dustards.
That was one of the generals in Kamen Rider X.
Man, you cannot do that in America. That's awesome.
As I recall, his successor was Aunt Capone.
Huh. Wow.
There were others like Genghis Condor, Scorpion Geronimo.
Yes, but Aunt Capone's kind of special in the same way that Starfish Hitler is.
Except maybe not as offensive.
I wonder if he likes chocolate. These are the things I must know.
Only white chocolate.
Yeah, have a look at this link, JD.
Only white chocolate. That's awesome. That's winning. Now I am entertained.
Yeah,
wow.
See Aunt Capone now?
That's amazing. I want to watch this series just for this.
I don't think any of X is available to us.
I just love that his
really?
Vest has the Great Lakes and the word Chicago printed across it.
Just for fun, you know. He's a fun-loving killing thing. Man.
And of course, like all the monsters from Kamen Rider X, he has Strong Bad Face on his belt.
Is it true? It is true. Wow. This is amazing. You can't get this series? Why not?
Because it's old.
This is like a licensed print money.
Somebody will get around to it eventually.
Wow. More Starfish Hitler.
Yes.
I'm sorry, continue.
I think we kind of lost our place.
I think we were talking about figure arts.
We covered that, and the only other bit of news this week is some toy catalog scans for GoBusters, revealing the Zords for Beat Buster and Stag Buster.
Yes.
Is there pictures?
Yes.
Can I has them?
No.
Damn it.
So Beat Buster's machine looks pretty cool.
Yes. BC-04 transforms from a crane to a beetle.
To Ace's big brother.
I'm not sure if that's just Beat by himself or if they combine to robot mode. The scans are kind of unclear.
It looks like it's standalone. I mean, you could never tell with Japanese advertisements because they love
and plus these aren't toy pictures. They're concept art.
So things could change a little bit before we actually see the full results.
No, but Paladin, if you look at the Stag machine scan, it kind of makes it clear that it's just add-on parts for Beetle Crane thing.
Kind of like how the Gorilla and Rabbit Zords are add-ons for Buster Race.
Yeah.
That would make sense then, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the other Zord is SJ-05, which turns from Stag Beetle to Fighter Jet.
Woohoo!
That sure is a box with a cockpit on the front of it.
You said cock.
Well, isn't that how most insect Zords look? I remember those two from Hurricanger.
Well, they weren't trying to be jets. That was kind of my point.
Yeah, it's basically like you turn it over and then the wings fold out.
Yeah, this is only slightly more effective as an aircraft than the blue Gokai machine.
It's really just Blitzwing.
Yeah, kind of.
It's not even as good as Blitzwing, really.
Well, no.
Yeah, because it probably won't have the Manny Faces gimmick to keep its personality interesting.
Oh, I was thinking G1, but okay, we can go there too.
I never think of G1.
I always think of G1. Special place in my little heart.
Because you're old.
Yes. I am old, actually.
And it's a very special place.
It is.
Today, JD's the oldest one here.
Woohoo! I mean, shit. But I'm married! Woohoo!
Don't you also mean shit?
Hey, I have lived in vagina. Alright. What?
How the hell do you segue away from that?
Right off the cliff.
You're listening to Superhero Time Segue Off a Cliff.
Now the question is the wife home?
No. All right now. Why would that matter?
Although he would say that if she was.
Hey, never mind. You don't even want to know the things that she talks about. So.
I mean, okay, that one Skype call that time, was that representative?
Oh, yeah, easy. Yeah.
I mean, was she, like, taking it easy for that, or?
No, that's probably pretty average, I would say. I mean.
Yeah.
My wife's cool. XV's talked to my wife. She's awesome. Yeah. So this is a frog thing as well?
Well, first, Beat and Stag can combine into their own Megazord, the Buster Hercules.
Mmm.
And Stag can combine with Go Buster Ace to form Go Buster Ace Stag Custom. It's what the scan says anyway.
Go Buster Ace Stag Custom.
Does he come with his own, like... Well,
talk
I guess...
about if, Gundam.
I guess there's already a Playboy Bunny, so he could be, like, Stag, and then you have the Bunny, and... Hmm. I'm seeing a whole Playboy motif that wasn't really intended.
Where's the frog come in?
It's a good question.
The movie, probably.
That's not what I meant for it, Max. But thanks for trying anyway.
So does this mean there's going to be a sixth one eventually? How many Go Busters are we going to have?
The frog looks like a retool of the rabbit, though. So it probably is a movie design. The scan is timed right for the summer movie anyway. Mm. So that's probably what that'll be.
Which is a shame because it actually looks interesting.
Well, yeah. Just because it's the movie exclusive doesn't mean you can't get it.
Look at the turban that thing's got. That's awesome.
Turban?
Yeah.
Is it wearing a rag on its head?
No. No, the jet engine thing.
Turbine?
Really?
Yes.
Really? Okay. Anyway, turbine. Yes, look at that amazing turbine.
Turbine to speed. Go.
Remember in Power Rangers Turbo, JD? It was the turbine laser.
Ah, the turbine laser, yes.
Not the turbine laser.
Right, this is the turbine.
Though they probably had a turbine laser in Car Ranger. Wouldn't surprise me.
Mm. No, not at all.
Turbine laser was invented in Carbamia.
God. G1.
See, Paladin, you do think of G1 sometimes.
Yeah.
Only the racism.
It's
now we'll never
to remember the
racism on this show.
Oh, man.
We have all kinds of amazing racism on this show.
Just did like 10 minutes on Starfish Hitler, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so we've done worse things in the past that we won't bring up because I'll have to edit them out again.
Well, those are kind of nifty. Yep, more
so, yeah.
Won't be able to afford.
Anyway,
well, okay,
Frog Sword.
You gotta look at it this way, too, though. The concept art for Go Buster Ace looked a lot better than the toy ended up looking, so it'll probably be the same thing here, and they won't be interesting once you actually see what they look like.
It's true.
And apparently Frog Zord combines with the other Zords to form Go Buster Keroro. Cute.
So Go Buster Frog.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Lovely.
Go Buster Sergeant Frog?
If it burps, that would be really awesome.
Though it's probably disappointing, what with being a frog.
Yes, well, no, let's
I thought
that
about the
John
rabbit,
Bosch
though.
Being in the Go Busters adaptation now, shall we? What with the frog? No? Okay.
No.
I thought the rabbit would be lame, but the rabbit was pretty sweet. So
the rabbit's probably going to be pissed off about this.
Mm. Yeah,
Roger Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit.
And Go Buster O and Buster Hercules will combine to form Great Go Buster O. And damn, that's going to be a bitch to pose.
It will form Great Hole in Your Wallet O.
No, what do you mean a bitch to pose? It's a deluxe Megazord.
Well, a bitch to stand properly because it looks like it'll be top heavy as hell.
Oh, it's got those big... No.
Well,
it's
not like its legs are going to move.
Look at the feet on it. It's got the whole Leo... what am I saying? The
G-12?
The Starcon... Not Starcon, but what the hell am I talking about?
I don't know.
Master Force. Huh, I can't think. Where it's got like the large, like half of the body of the crane becomes part of the feet, so it has like these ridiculously enormous platform feet. And you see it right below there. So it's gonna have an enormous base. It's
but
gonna look terrible.
The point is, the last thing that Go Buster O needs is more stuff piled onto it. So let's pile more stuff onto it.
I think, is it Victory Convoy? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Huh?
Victory doesn't have any cranes.
No, but when you combine... Hang on.
I don't even have any idea what you're talking about, so...
Rogue Caesar?
Victory Saber? Thank you, yes.
What?
No.
That's from Victory.
Why did I say Master Force, then? Because I'm stupid? Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
You showed up for this show.
Man. I just spent like 2 hours watching non-Transformers stuff. My brain is melted. Yes. Victory
Well,
Saber.
An hour that was a decade, too, so your brain is especially melted.
Really, and I have no idea what that is. Victory Saber is what I'm thinking of. So it's
well,
got the
okay,
way Victory
the
Saber.
Thing. You watch Decade and have no idea what's going on. That's normal.
Okay. Yeah. See? I have an excuse. Anyway, my point.
No one has knows what's going on.
Victory.
But at least you know who to blame.
Can I make... Okay, never mind. Victory Saber has, like, the large feet. And that's what it looks like this
has. Where'd
happens.
You get a crane from?
I don't... I was talking about the Beetlezord thing. It's a crane, right? It's a big rig thing that it turns into, right? Crane rig? No? I didn't look at the picture correctly?
I'm still not sure what you mean.
No, you were... The way you said initially, you were talking about a... we thought... We're trying to talk about a crane robot from Master Force.
No, no. I was just trying to verbally get to the point of the thing.
That is what it sounded like, though.
And failing.
I failed horribly. I'm not denying that at this point. Yes. Do we understand what I'm talking about now, though?
No.
No.
Damn it. You know how the feet, the pads of the feet on Victory Saber are?
No.
Got the large pads.
No.
With line. Okay, never mind. Someone out there knows, okay? They're listening to me flounder like an idiot, and they're going, I know what he means. He's just a dumbass.
No, they're not.
Well, no, well, Don probably is. Hi, Don.
Exactly. Thank you. Don will be my saving grace, because he'll know what I'm talking about.
Don. And then he'll forget it immediately because he's older than you.
Oh,
that's
don't
true.
Don't on Don. Oh. Anyway, he'll come to my aid later.
Sure.
If he remembers.
Not if you edit this part out of the show.
Damn it. But I'll just sound like an idiot. You'll edit out the part where I, like, correct it and try to make sense. And just leave in the part where I sound like a moron. Awesome.
Yes.
Damn it. Moving on.
We'll see you on Thursday, Don. So anyway.
Anyway, the Beaten Stagzords will be out late June, mid-July or so. And Frog, probably for the movie in August.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have an aquatic fighter, you know.
Well, the Frog probably won't be either.
No?
At least not completely.
It'll be, yeah, it should be partially amphibious, though. What would it have?
No, wholly amphibious.
Partially amphibious?
I don't know. I'm making things up as I go.
Obviously.
It can't submerge fully in the water.
No! We drowned.
This is really just...
Aren't you glad you've got me here to explain these things to you?
Sure, sure.
Do we have anything else in the news?
Sadly, that's about it. It's been a very slow week.
Cripes. Okay, well, Fort Mac, did you watch Samurai?
And now for something completely uninteresting.
Yes, it's the episode where Blue loses his Morpher, and then they form the Gigazord.
Well, it sounds thrilling.
And it has Decker.
Did it have the Battleizer?
Yes.
And the Bolzuka spear thing?
No.
Oh. And was the Battleizer only in the Megazord cockpit?
What do you think?
I think it's Samurai.
Yeah.
I take it by Decker, you don't mean Star Trek.
No.
Aww.
I mean Rick Medina.
The one who takes his pants off.
Oh, well. I guess that would appeal to some people.
Or not. Probably not.
I doubt it.
It's Rick Medina. I mean... That was, like, you know, 10 years ago. He's kind of past it.
Past the prime?
But in more ways than one.
Nobody will ever let him forget it. Okay, well, that was Samurai.
Wow, that took a lot of time.
That was your Superhero Time Power Rangers Samurai Minute.
The love and dedication for that show.
He put just as much thought into Samurai as Saban did.
And unfortunately, while Akiba Ranger aired... What, last weekend? Or
yes.
Friday, maybe? The subs for it have not been finished at the time of recording.
They had to hire a new translator specializing in memes.
Oh, God.
Or at least get a consultant.
Well, they had to hire a... They had to get a two-channel consultant.
Which is what I just said. Thank you for it, Max. But I'm sure we'll bring that to you next week.
Yeah, no.
I understand the show is quite entertaining. That may go away when we can understand what they're saying, though.
All we need to know is the opening has Red jumping off the cliff as per usual in older Sentai openings and then gets promptly hit by a truck on the way down.
That's awesome.
But I don't like the opening song that much. It's irritating.
Is it also as bad as, like,
Also, that annoying girl singing is drowning out the Gal Ranger singer.
The Gal Ranger singer was there?
You can barely hear him under... You can barely hear him. He's being drowned... Well, with being drowned out by that annoying girl.
No wonder I didn't notice the Gal Banana. Really need Mickey here for that one. Okay, so anyway... I guess Buster's ready...
It's time for Buster.
Go?
Go.
Sure.
Clack, clack, clack.
Cool. So.
Get comfortable, everybody.
That's right. JD's doing the synopsis. Yes. You are excited. I know it. Well, this is a pretty straightforward episode, though, I thought. Not a lot of frills. Repairs being made to the machines. Yes. And there's one very excited mechanic. Kiyomo? Something like that.
New guy.
Yes. And he's very excited as he polishes Ace. And
polishes... Nick
as well, yes. He was working, well, it was sort of Ace and Nick as well, and Nick was giving him direction as to where he liked to be rubbed.
It was kind of unsettling.
It was a little...
More than kind of.
But as he was sitting in the machine and admiring it, he got a bit distracted with polishing Nick.
Yes, and the commander had the courtesy to call in while he's giving Nick a rub down.
Yeah. So he leaves in a bit
also
of a hurry.
Unfortunate euphemism.
And doesn't realize that he has not turned on one of the later to be very important switches, which they show you about five times throughout the course of the first half or so of the episode. That it's not on. As you get
Whereas
the zoom
usually
in
Senpai, you don't find out about it until they absolutely need it. To be turned back on or they blow up.
Yeah. But no, this was like plenty of foreshadowing. It was like, okay, you're good. Zoom in, no light. Okay.
Dramatic music.
Yeah. So,
sadly, that the label for that panel could have used one less letter.
Could it? I didn't read it.
Yeah, I didn't read it.
Pilot support control. Just remove that first eye.
Oh, plot support control.
Plot support control? Very nice.
That's a rather obtuse joke for it, Max.
Yeah, it was a little heady, but I kind of like it. I see what you're going, you know.
Fort Max, you have to remember our audience. That's a little high concept for them.
That's pretty deep. Oh, so as our new very excited mechanic exits, he bumps into the Go Busters, which he's very excited about meeting.
This is after he's fallen down the stairs and spilled his tools everywhere.
Yeah, and like bumped into him.
Unfortunate euphemism.
Yeah. I don't know if we've really fully realized this yet, but Hirome is like the... Hiromu is like the most... He's probably the biggest unintentional asshole I've ever met.
Well, we've noticed that.
I mean, we noticed it.
They kind of called some attention to that in the very first episode.
Yeah, but you know, it's one of those where it's like little hints. This was like really bad. Like...
You didn't pick up on that when he called Yoko fat?
Nah, but I mean, it's like, this was almost like even
worse. So you didn't pick up on it then?
Those are people you kind of know, so you think he's sort of familiar with it. You know, he's like, has a level maybe of familiarity. This is some guy that he just meets. And not only does he like, you're an idiot, you know, as the guy drops all his tools. And then as the guy is like, not even remotely out of earshot, he's like,
I don't think that guy's cut out to work on Ace.
It's like, you think that asshole can cut it? I don't know.
That guy kind of sucks.
Yeah, he kind of sucks. You think he should be working on Ace? I don't know. Like, I think he can hear you. Yeah, he definitely heard you. But Hiromu also noticed that he had lost his screwdriver under one of the steps. This will be important later.
Sort of.
Dun, dun, dun.
Meanwhile, so basically Messiah just yells a lot.
So far, yeah.
He doesn't really, like, have any plans.
But Messiah does kind of have a plan. You know, destroy the GoBusters. That's a plan.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Destroy the GoBusters now.
It's,
yeah,
it's more.
Yeah, destroy the GoBusters now.
It's more of a desire. I wouldn't say that's a plan. A plan would be, we are going to destroy the GoBusters in this way. He's just more like, now.
No, no, they're going to destroy them by killing them.
I think, yeah, okay, yes, all right, fine. Yes, that is a plan. Very good, sir, yes. But thankfully, we have entered a chew-up scenery and speak in French. Because that's a thing. And
okay.
Well, scenery makes up 40% of the diet in France.
This is true. you know, you think if you make a train car into a monster, it would be enormous.
I'm just surprised they didn't use a bullet train.
Yeah, I know. It was like one of the more like it was really more of like a sub. Well, it's like a very large what we
would
call
like a local commuter train deal.
Yeah, because the whole deal is they're hooked up. They run off of the electric lines.
Yeah,
that will come into play in just a moment. But anyway,
bullet trains don't do that.
Railroid, nope. Would be our monster. So their plan, or at least Enter's plan, because Enter has one.
But he doesn't get to use it.
Well, he sort of begins the execution process. It just doesn't come into fruition. His idea is to use Railroid to gather Enertron and then use that to make more Metaroids, yes? And then use those to make even more Megazords and to really kill them to death.
Yes.
But... So he sends Railroid around, of which I love Railroid's gimmick, because he's basically just running around going chugga 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 as he's running around and running down the track and gathering up Enertron.
Yes.
So they have 30 minutes on the clock this time before the Megazord will appear. So they begin preparing the Buster machines. And we go back to zoom in on the unilluminated light. And as they power up Ace... Kablooey. Ace.
You're going to need another Timmy.
Ace hardcore malfunctions. And they have a bit of a dilemma because they need 30 minutes to repair Ace and the Megazord will be here in 15.
Well, crap.
Well, damn it. So our GoBusters go into...
It's too bad they don't have, like, two other Buster machines that they
I know. If only there were more Buster machines.
But they're not red. They're not fast enough.
Yes, they're not. They have no
legs. They're three times slower.
They can't hold a sword.
I bet the gorilla could hold a sword if you made it.
Possibly. But
no, his arms don't bend that way.
Yeah, they just
curve. It doesn't matter. I didn't think he'd hold it usefully. He could just hold it.
As long as he could hold it, right? That's the...
Yeah.
And he'd probably be too busy panicking to
hold of it. Yes. His face spinning. It's beautiful. of which, that also really hurts Nick, I guess, as well, because he's still plugged in. Been hanging out in Ace this whole episode for some reason.
Because it's in robot mode.
I guess so. If it's in robot mode, he has to be hooked up.
And it's probably going to be in robot mode from now on.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't see them doing the car thing very often. But, so our GoBusters are dispatched to take on the Metaroid. Which I thought was pretty impressive because Hiromu can actually, like, fight and be there for the end. But there's a key bit before that where... They end up having a discussion about the mechanic, I think, again, because, of course, he admits to... There's a whole deal at the base where he admits to being the one that screwed up and blew Ace up. And
he's like, I'm a total f***ed up. Will you fire me now?
Yeah, I know. He has this whole scene where he's like, I screwed up. Please, I must be punished. Let's punish me. And Iromu's like, suck it up. If you want to leave, fire yourself.
Well, and see, that's the correct response, too,
so.
Because
yeah.
Asking to be fired is just the easy way out of the situation.
Yeah. Oh, they fired me. Yeah. He's like, if you can't cut it, get the f*** out.
Exactly.
So
maybe he just wanted to collect unemployment.
And see, it kind of bothered me that was it all the others or was it just Nick? Because wasn't Nick out by then?
Nick was still, I think Nick wasn't there at the time.
Well, somebody was there and, you know, they started taking Hiromu to task for it. But, you know, I mean,
well,
Nick was
there.
Yeah, but they did, well, especially like Ryu and stuff, like took Hiromu to task for it. And he was basically like, hey, I'm perfect.
But this time Hiromu was right about it.
Yeah, well, his point there, though, was that he never makes mistakes. Like, he never, you know, he's never messed anything up. And if he, you know.
Well, that's an entirely different argument, but.
Yeah. So, back on the ranch, Railroid has been gathering up Enertron as he runs down the tracks.
And comes back.
Only about a quarter full.
Yes.
So they have a bit of a scuffle, and then releases some, what are those minions called? I never remember their names.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Have they been named?
I have no idea.
We asked that last week. We still don't have an answer.
I know. Anyway, the little electricity guys, they end up fighting the GoBusters while Railroid goes off to get more Enertron as he's running down the tracks.
Cool fight, though.
Yeah, very nice fight, actually. A lot of you know, all three of them kind of getting to use some of their powers. We see, you know,
and using the actual stuff on the set as cover.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Which is still very well done.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of had the feel of the early Gokaiger fights, where they were using the environment, but this was, like, slower paced and more thought out.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, you know, when, Yoko is, like, jumps over the train car and shoots a couple of them, so it's kind of cool. I like it.
Shoots them in the knees.
Yeah, shoots them in the knees. Take out the knees! So.
But then it took a laser to its knee.
But anyway, Hiromu.
Oh, hey, we have a Ken.
Ooh, we do.
Maybe.
Well, looks like Ken's on his way back from the bathroom.
Yay! We'll add him back in.
Ken.
Hey.
Ah, Ken, you're finally back from the bathroom.
Ken 01. Hashim.
Is this the excuse you gave?
Yes.
Yes.
What do you mean excuse? That's where you've been all this time. That's where you've been for the last 45 minutes.
Seriously suggest you eat more fiber.
Didn't you learn a lesson from the last month-old pizza?
That was XV, I'm sorry.
And that
wasn't still a lesson to be learned.
And it is, really.
That was not a month-old pizza. That was a five-year-old pizza.
You might want to try eating a wicker basket.
But yeah, Ken, I explained that you were in the bathroom and Mickey's away with a contract dispute.
That works.
Yeah. So anyway, we're in the middle of GoBusters right now.
Yeah, I believe the dispute centers around the fact that Mickey is claiming that there's a contract.
Right. Or the existence of said contract.
So the same joke you made at the start of the show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just repeat that. We keep it rolling. It's just like zooming in on the unilluminated light.
Unilluminated
just
light.
Just want to bring attention to it from GoBusters.
Did you watch GoBusters?
Me? Yeah,
yes.
I caught GoBusters and Forza before I left earlier.
Cool.
Good, good.
Oh, when they kept zooming in on the unilluminated light on the panel in Ace.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. They didn't do that 10 times. But anyway.
No, they did 20 times.
So, let's see. What did we get? Ryu, powered up arm throw for Hiromu and chased him after Railroid. So that way, and he kind of used his speed thing, I guess.
Yeah, that's a nice combination of powers, I think.
Yeah. Well, first they had to throw him because Hiromu saw another chicken.
This time, a windmill.
Yeah.
A windmill. Which, well, that was a key point because...
Weather vane, technically.
He just made the point that he never makes mistakes, and then he looked at Weather Vane.
The moment he said that, I was like, okay, where is he going to f*** up in this episode?
Exactly.
Right.
Whoever wrote this, like, they understand foreshadowing.
Subtle foreshadowing, totally.
Subtle, in quotation marks. So he goes chasing after. I like the bit with the illusion as well. I guess the cameras can cast illusions.
Evidently.
Yeah. So he casted an illusion that a trail was coming, which made Railroad like turn around and run back at him, which was fun.
I like that translation of Densheroid too.
Which, yes.
The Railroid.
Oh, yes.
It was Densheroid instead of just Trainroid.
Ah. Yeah. And I like the sound. Clack, 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 clack.
And I like how they use the music for the fight too.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was cool. The fight was good. I mean, all the fighting was good in this, especially when we learned that Hiromu can actually stick around to kill a Metaroid. So,
that was the first time all three of them killed the Metaroid together.
I know. I was like, Hiromu's still
like,
here?
The second episode was like everybody holding it off while Hiromu sniped it.
Yeah.
And then, it's about the first time all three of them have done it. Yeah.
No wonder they made such a big deal out of it to have the music and everything.
That's right. First time. Well, and that's kind of, I guess, the part of the theme of the episode was team, you know, and the team actually working together. I mean, you know, again, we see this, you know, bit where they combine their powers for Hiromu to, you know, catch up with Metaroid. You know, there's the idea of the mechanic that participates. And then,
after they kill the Metaroid, it's time to deal with the Megazord.
And that leads
into the next demonstration of the teamwork.
Correct, because Hiromu realizes that he screwed up and that anybody can screw up and there's a lot of people that participate.
A lot.
A lot of people that participate. And he realizes that the new guy is probably going to need that screwdriver that he left under the stair.
Chekhov's gun.
So we go back to Ace, and here's the new guy in Ace, and he pulls out the card that was busted, and he goes to open the panel, and he doesn't have a screwdriver. So he's screwed.
I see what you did there.
Unfortunately.
But thankfully, Hiromu is there to save the day as he shows up with the guy's screwdriver. And, you know, he kind of asks him, you know, how many people work on Ace? And it's like 50 people and all this stuff. I mean, you know, epiphany that, you know, wow, there's really all these people. We're all a team together. And so.
Well, and it's kind of a different thing from how Sentai usually works. Here they're establishing, okay, this one mecha by itself, there's 50 people dedicated to just its upkeep.
Yeah.
Usually there's maybe like one, possibly two.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at Gokaiger, where Doc was single-handedly responsible for the upkeep of the Galleon.
Well, Gokaiger's a bit more fantastical. Think more like more like Go-Go 5, which is more comparable to this, and it had like one scientist.
Well, no, but I mean the fantastical element of Gokaiger kind of applies here because it gives the example of how different the styles are.
That's true. That's
in
true.
The way they're playing out the mechanics of the series.
Yeah, I'm just thinking more like series like it, where it's literally just one or two dudes most of the time.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, in that case, how did Decaranger handle it?
Decaranger has a whole organization, so it's a little bit.
Yeah, different. They had a whole team of personnel at the Deca base that had to be sheltered every time that damn thing went to robot mode.
Just like an SPD.
Yes.
Yep. Same footage.
But I mean, how many people did they ever establish? How many people were responsible for keeping up the machines?
No, I don't think there was like a hard number or anything that I can remember.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, and I think it's interesting the way that they, you know, establish that in this, that it's really a team. You know, there's whole groups of people that work on this stuff from, you know, not only like the chief and the two techs, you know, that sort of relay information, but then the mechanics that work actually on the mechs themselves. So,
and even Hiromu's surprised that there's so many people involved in just that one area of operation.
And you got to think there's probably like, you know, several people that just work on a arm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's their designated duty.
Yeah,
and I'm sure they have like four or five software engineers too.
Oh yeah.
Oh, easy. Yeah. So you know, and then you have to have HR, and then you've got accounting and accounts payable.
Yeah, I don't think HR and accounting really apply specifically to Ace, but yeah,
Well, but you have to, for the whole organization. You imagine there's somewhere there's like an HR department, and they're like, it's going to be Cake Tuesday this week. So
I would not. No. HR department's probably USADA.
Yeah. I don't want to be like an accounting for GoBusters though, just because every time that the Zords get
all the
out,
glasses,
they're like, oh god, here I go.
Yeah, the glasses budget alone, for the accounting, they're like, chief, if we could really convince them to not throw those away.
Well,
they're pretty expensive.
Two episodes.
They're $100 a pair,
this off-brand.
We could switch to a less designer brand. No, they must have the best. Like, okay, even saying that's, money doesn't grow on trees.
I'm sure they could get in-house branded sunglasses, just like Yoko's Snacks.
Is that what it is? Maybe that's what it is. And then then they've got marketing and branding as well. Right. This is like,
Oh yeah, that's Bandai.
GoBuster brand Cheerios. Get your GoBuster-O's, but it's like a marshmallow cereal.
It's like USADA and Nick and Gorisaki shaped marshmallows.
The little kids on the front, like, yay!
Oh, and don't forget the macaroni and cheese shapes.
I'm eating sweets just like Yoko! Really a big company that everybody works together.
Yeah. All the people in the Japanese division probably work together. I'm sure if there's like an American division of the GoBuster organization, yeah, they don't work together.
No, not at all.
No, they also outsourced it to India.
Right. Where is your organization? That's off stage. We keep that here.
We have a call center.
We were thinking if you use the less expensive sunglasses, it would be better. No, but
like I said, all kinds of racism.
All kinds of it here tonight. We are on fire. So
obviously, anyway. I need to listen to the beginning part of the episode. You
may have missed some, but Starf Schittler.
Oh, that's just common though.
So, that's where it started. So anyway. Of course, Yoko and Ryu are trying to keep Megazord busy while Ace is being repaired. Now, this is not a typical Megazord because he's got two buddies and they hook up into like a train thing for no reason.
He's got two buddies that
conga line.
He's got two buddies that plug into his backside.
Yeah, they they sort of.
They insert themselves kind of in his butt region.
I think it's more waist region, but okay, we'll go with that.
Sure it is.
But they connect together, and then I don't know I guess they did a jumping thing where they connected together, and then for some reason the other two guys would jump up in the air.
And how many times did they use that stock footage in this one?
Four times, I think.
Well, that attack style was kind of reminiscent of something from Gundam.
Yeah, the Black Tri-Stars.
Uh-huh. I can't imagine that was an accident.
Nah.
Nah. So, so much fighting there. And, of course, just when things look all lost, then Ace shows up.
Final Fusion.
Because, of course, Red has to save the day.
That's right. And they form GoBuster O and...
The King of Busters.
The King of Busters.
King of Busters.
I kind of like that better than even Overtime's GoBuster King translation.
King of Busters does sound good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has that epic quality to it, although I don't think GoBuster really deserves that the way it looks.
It, it is kind of sad, though. It's
It works if you think, like I do, when you hear Buster, you think of the Mythbuster.
Mm.
Specifically the one named Buster.
We saw Ace, and Ace came out and fought and stuff, and we're like, all right, well, when are we gonna see like GoBuster King or GoBuster O? And then we saw it, and it's like, oh, can we
go back to Ace?
Just Ace.
remember too, when the new Buster machine comes out, that'll get spammed on TV for a while too before its combination. Probably.
Hopefully, it looks less horrible. Because
Oh, I'm kind of getting used to the design. It's just that it's not very mobile. It seems.
With this one, we still got a lot of footage from the gorilla and helicopter.
Mm-hmm. They recycled some of the rabbit, but
and they didn't let Gorilla use his banana missiles.
Yeah, with that.
It's kind of like we were talking about last time.
Bananas don't slip that well when it's dirt.
Well, that's true. But no, it's like we were talking about last time with GoBuster O. You know, if you take it as, okay, this is a more heavily armored form of Ace, then yeah, it's not going to be a quick mover.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
if they would just go ahead and establish that in the dialogue, I wouldn't need to think anything more of it again.
At the very least, like, even though it's not as impressive as in the first few episodes, at least the mecha still don't feel like an afterthought because the episodes are still actually focusing sort of basically on the mecha.
Yeah. Well, and you saw they did kind of still mix in some outside shot bits.
Mm-hmm.
Couple.
Where it all went to overcast, which proved why they're not shooting the stuff outside primarily right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, on the other hand, you have to admit their sky background for the soundstage looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
If the clouds weren't always in the same exact positions, you'd almost think it was real.
You know, the thing that bothers me, I think the thing that really bothers me is that it's the same sword, just with, you know, parts of the rabbit.
No, it's a different sword.
Well, it's
They've
got
gone through a few.
It's got the parts of the rabbit. Well, but it's got the bits added on the side. I think I would be more impressed if the sword was longer.
The sword should be made out of the rabbit ear scissors on the other arm.
Yeah. Use that as a protect wall.
Yeah, as like a shield or something. But I don't know. It feels like that sword should be bigger.
Or it's changed more.
That's what she said.
I mean, if we're going to have a phallic symbol of male superiority, it's going to have to be bigger.
So you're wanting it to be made out of the female.
Yes.
Well,
you know, males do come from... Well, anyway.
Moving on.
Kids. They charge up the sword and destroy the Megazord. Everybody's happy.
And the end credits replace the dance off with Superhero Tyson footage.
Review one of two for the weekend.
Right.
Which includes a giant super robot formed from the Gigantors and Crisis Fortress.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
As well as, for some reason, Hiromu being able to keep up with Clock Up, which is bullshit.
So, is this Superhero Wars, is this just really basically a fangasm? Is that...
Basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have all of these...
Well, no, not really. It's written by the Decade's writing staff.
So it's a cluster fangasm.
Oh, okay. It's like, we have all of these Sentai suits, and we have all of these Kamen Rider suits. Maybe
and
we
almost have
together.
Enough people to wear all of them at once.
Yeah. it's been kind of this thing that they've been avoiding doing for so long, but people have kind of really wanted.
Well, and Decade kind of, led into that anyway because they crossed over with Shinkanger.
Yeah.
But it wasn't exactly the same.
Yeah, I mean, it was an okay set of episodes, and it's probably a couple of the better ones in the second half because it was
It was Shinkanger.
Yeah, it was written by Kobayashi. So.
And, it was the Shinkanger universe, and the only reason that there wasn't a Zord battle is simply because the Monster of the Week didn't have a second life anymore because of the whole having the DN driver.
Because
and it literally said
device.
This is not an Ayakashi anymore or something like that at one point.
That's not really important to this discussion, though.
Yeah. No. But regardless, we get to see the transformation of the Gokaigers into the O's forms, and Puto Terra looks fucking hilarious.
And, of course, you get to see King of Busters with modules.
Ah, yes. Which is copious. Fairly good CGI.
Well, it's movie budget,
Of course.
That doesn't really say much.
Movie budget still.
The movie budget CGI is pretty much the exact same CGI as the rest of the series.
I don't know. It seems to have a little more polish to it. When
just that they have
version.
More of it.
Yeah, it has a bit more polish. And we also get the giant Actos and Walt Gill. I'm kind of disappointed they didn't just pull out the Great Waltz again.
And take another copy and turn it black for the Great Actos?
Sure.
Maybe they lost
like
that
this,
suit.
You get to see the Waltz being, well, all Waltz at giant scale.
Oh, God.
But without the
so
Great Waltz,
you can't use any
anybody.
Kind of powers in the actual series.
But how about we pronounce someone Waltz guilty? That's kind of the problem, isn't it?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
See, that was a respectable synopsis, right? I mean, like, it didn't
that was about
forever.
Half an hour.
That's not bad. It's only slightly longer than the episode
itself. That was good compared to your 55-minute GoBuster summary the last time we let you try.
Thank you. I'm getting better.
I will concede that point.
Thank you.
So next week, they're setting up another Buster machine.
Or at least setting the stage for one to appear
in a few months,
I guess.
But, you know, it's nice that they just don't come out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should expect that from GoBusters, the way they're going
at this
so
point,
far.
Yeah.
Even though it won't actually appear for, like, 2 months, probably.
Probably.
Well, yeah, but if it's only in the blueprint stage right now, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadow. Okay, cool.
Well, I hear there's an operation where you can get that removed.
Mm. Just snip it off.
Goodness.
Snip.
See, just like JD gets to, you know, let loose when he comes on the show, having JD on the show also lets me a little loose.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
And Ken apparently needs to be looser.
Yes, Ken does need to be looser. Okay, so
I just seen how long I can keep a straight face.
Because we could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, audio and all that. Yeah. Carries right. Very well.
Great gimmick, okay, radio.
Tim Curry.
All right, now it's time to throw Ken under the bus.
Woo!
Forze?
Yes. Forze. Switch on.
Switch on.
Yes, okay, so Gintaro gets interrupted from blowing away the fly Zodiar because Ryan kicks his ass while he's still transformed. Kind of sad for a Kamen Rider.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, it's Gintaro.
Regardless,
well,
the fly Zodiar.
It's not like he's going to fight back against an untransformed girl.
Yeah. Regardless, the fly Zodiar escapes before Meteor Storm can Beyblade his ass to death.
But he does get to show off his new toy power on some Dust Dusters.
Yes, he does. He gets to let it rip on them.
Yes, he does.
Unfortunate euphemism.
Not in this case. Anyway, Ron takes off where Haru is looking like he is really on some bad shit.
He is strung out, yo.
He got some of that Spanish fly.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. He tosses it, his little
he tosses
salad.
He tosses the salad. How can we not follow that, you know?
He tosses his little charm thing with his name on it into the river.
Now you're my bitch. That's all I could think. There was his line really there. Yeah. It's like,
all I could think was, where the f did Inoue come from?
No. No, that's just a item being thrown into the river. It didn't fall in and lose its memory.
Look, we get plenty more people in the river later in the episode, so it still counts.
Now you're my bitch. I take care of you.
Anyhow,
back in the rabbit hutch.
Thank you, Paladin. We have Osugi, who the others come in and find, much to everybody's dismay, and a very frightening lead into the opening and more Superhero Tyson previews, including Marvelous versus the Seven Legendary Riders.
God.
They don't really have much of a chance then, do they?
No, I think that's true.
As well as, let's see here, Blade, Tsukasa as Blade versus Spade Ace, and...
No, versus Marvelous as Spade Ace.
Marvelous as Spade Ace, regardless. And Tsukasa as Hibiki versus Marvelous as Battle Japan. And both Marvelous and Tsukasa, you know, raining down massive laser blasts everywhere and blowing everybody to the smithereens.
Cool.
Yeah,
explosions. Was this also, Michael Bay?
Also, Marvelous versus The End.
It'll have just as much plot.
Yeah. I don't really care, though, honestly.
No, this will be great spectacle as long as nobody goes in expecting story.
Yeah, that's what I kind of hope that.
No, you can expect story, just not story that makes sense.
Like,
well,
I hope
that's basically the same qualification for Max.
Well, that depends how much Deno is in this.
Not much.
Apparently, not much going by the previews.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. It seems mostly Forze, Tsukasa.
It seems mostly he's there as a ride.
Yeah, Forze, yeah. Decade, Gokaiger, and GoBusters really seem to take a lion's share with O's just kind of wandering in and out in the background.
And yes, like, they actually have all of the Gokaiger actors there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew I'd seen shots of the girls earlier in magazines and stuff, so.
They just won't be very important.
So basically, it's just going to be occasional.
Of course not. They're the girls.
So essentially, they'll just be occasional writers that show up and like, hey, we were in a thing, remember? Oh, no? Okay.
That's fine.
We have Figo Arts on sale,
no,
too.
No, that Shin who's just in the big battle, just standing around there looking like,
Okay, what do I do now? You want
to
know the sad thing? I think I've seen more footage from Hina than I've seen from Eiji in this movie. And then that's including shots of O's. Like, Hina,
well,
I've seen...
Well, stronger than Eiji.
Yeah, like, Hina,
she
I've seen in the background several times, like, on the Galleon or with The End and the other and the Gokaigers, but...
Hina needs to go up to Decade and throw a rock at him.
Yes!
A big rock.
Anyway, back to the actual episode. We have Gamo with presumably the two switches he has are Cancer and Scorpios.
Probably.
Yeah. They're talking about the next horoscope, and they seem to have some confusion on how many they actually have right now.
Well, you know, Virgo's talking about the seventh.
Yeah, he's talking about the seventh, while Hayame and Virgo don't actually know that they have a sixth.
I thought it was just Virgo that didn't know there was a number six.
I don't think Hayame seems to realize it much either. But then again, it's hard to tell. Anyway, back at the rabbit hutch, they're trying to explain to Osugi that Gintaro is a Kamen Rider. They, you know, save the school every freaking day. And Gintaro gets, you know, very uncomfortably close to Osugi.
And he basically takes the same approach to Osugi they did with Tomoko. Grab him and shove him in a spacesuit and take him to the moon.
Yes, where there's no oxygen or anything like that.
Well, they're already on the moon.
Well, the surface of the moon.
Surface. Out to the moon, then.
Go for a walk.
Yes.
Bang, zoom, straight to the moon.
And he hops around like a rabbit, which is much like creepy. Everything else. Much like everything else Osugi does, yes, it's creepy. They try to explain everything to him, and he says, you know, hell no, this is not an authorized club. And then Miyu orders everybody to hold him down.
After he wants to go tell the principal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which would be very bad.
They don't even know how bad it would be.
Yeah.
Right.
Luckily, Ryusei gets spared this as he's going in. Tachibana contacts him.
I was half expecting Tachibana's call to be to tell him that Osugi's up in the rabbit hutch and it's better not to go in right now.
Yes, but he wants him to go check out his old school. Meanwhile, Ron is fishing around in the river for the charm, and she has a flashback to where Haru was treated like kind of a little bitch in junior high.
Well, he kind of is.
Yeah,
he's a little bit of a bitch. I would treat him like a bitch. I mean,
yeah, but you see why she's so protective of him. And then we get Gintaro taking a leap off the fucking bridge in one shot.
Yeah, well, I don't. But that's not the first time he's done that either.
No.
Wait, it's not. But
it's a tradition.
That's like the first episode.
Sort of every semester.
He seems to have gotten better at it because in the first episode, he like was in a lot of pain when he landed. Now he just kind of walks it right off.
Yeah. And I still don't really care for that.
You know, of all the nasty things that they found in that river, though, I was amazed. It's like, where's the condoms? There's got to be. There's like old toys and trash and garbage. There's got to be like condoms all over that thing.
No, but JD, don't you know Japanese teenager males are not interested in having sex anymore, apparently.
Okay. Really?
What are they interested
in? Or anyone else in Japan.
Oh.
Well, apparently there's still women interested in having sex. There's just nobody to have sex with them.
So lots of lesbians.
You know, actually, now that you say that, that does actually make sense thinking about things my friend has said. Okay.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Gintaro tries to look for the charm, but since she still won't give him the time of the day, he has no idea what he's supposed to be looking for.
So he's just tossing condoms aside. And
what Ryu say comes to his old school.
Which,
and
damn.
No wonder he left.
Smacking the... He went to smack in the nuts high.
Where... It seems just his sort of place.
Yeah, it's kind of a depressing place, and everybody looks fairly depressed, including this girl named Shirakawa, who seems to be avoiding telling him anything while he sees Libra walking off in the distance. The rest of the Kamarada Club comes up to Ron and tries to talk some sense into her, but, you know, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
That's been established.
Yes. Meteor attacks Libra, and they fight in a fairly decent, a fairly good fight with a lot of wire work. You can tell that this is Sakamoto doing it because it actually looks decent. But he stops short when Libra transforms into an image of Tomoko and gets his ass kicked then.
Yeah. Oops.
My girlfriend. Yeah.
So this is what you get for always coming to save her. They start to notice. And Osugi is getting his ass kicked by Shun until he cuts off the gravity. And, well, the good thing Shun's not a student anymore because, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be a problem.
While Haru tells this girl, bitch, shut up or I will kill you, after he kicks up her desk in the classroom.
Oh, before that, Otsugi manages to swim to safety.
Yeah.
Swim, 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 swim.
Of course, he takes off with the net switch before he runs into Ron. And then after he hears that the...
Well, at first, Ron sees the switch.
Yeah. But regardless, after he hears that the Haru got the switch from one of the teachers, he starts shaking her like, are you sure about that? Of course, then Haru shows up, transforms, you know, like the proper jealous boyfriend that he is.
Yes, naturally.
And decides to kill.
And his switch has hit last one at this point.
Yes.
And he decides to protect Ron.
Yes.
You're my bitch now.
By trying to kill Osugi, and he evolves yet again also when he transforms.
Well, that was just the last one transformation, wasn't it?
Well, it's the last.
They usually don't look different.
Yeah, they usually it's the same. Yeah.
So he the fly.
He's just Kuga, remember?
Yes. Now he's in what, rising form, ultimate form.
Yeah, there wasn't a specific flight form, was there?
No.
Let's just say, what was it? Dragon? Sure.
No, Dragon was the staff mode.
I guess it's that's the one that jumped high, right?
Good lord, what the hell are you talking about?
No. Dragon was
we're talking
one,
about cool guy.
Okay. He's dragon. Anyway,
Pegasus was the one where when he used it, it gave him, you know, migraines.
Yeah, he can only use it for a few seconds, even.
Because it was destroying his brain.
Yeah.
So is this conversation.
Thank you. I'm glad you said it.
It's fine, though. Ken and I know what we're talking about.
Osugi takes off on presumably a student's bicycle. I'm disappointed it wasn't like an obviously like girl bicycle or something like that. That would have just made it so fitting. But Gintaro and the others show up with her charm. They figured out what it was after everybody else dove into the river too, which is what I was talking about. Everybody goes into the river.
Even Kengo, apparently.
Well, yeah. You don't know if they jumped. They could have taken that ladder that you saw.
It probably took the ladder.
Because only Gintaro would jump.
They are a little bit smarter than Gintaro. He gives Ron one of a very awkward...
Oh, look, he just wanted to befriend gravity.
So he's going to kick it in the face.
That explains why Sakamoto is directing this week.
You win again, Gravity.
He defies gravity all the time. He gives Ron a very awkward handshake that she's not sure how to process, apparently. She's just like...
Not as awkward as the one with those.
No, I think this one is more awkward because you can see how she's like, what are you doing to me? Do I need an adult? but Gintaro...
It's not Osugi.
Well, speaking of Osugi, Gintaro comes riding in on his motorcycle and saves his ass, transforming...
Wait, the important part is that Ron tipped him off that Haru went after that gross teacher from the staff room.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, it like, must have been Osugi.
And even after a second, they're like, I think he means Osugi.
See, it would have been funnier, though, if they all went at once, oh, Osugi.
Yeah, that would have been a lot better.
It's like instantly, like, oh, ooh. Osugi.
But still, they knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gintaro starts wailing into the fly Zodiart and makes some creative use with some copious CGI of...
Hey, look, kids, toys!
Yeah, of various switches, including Gyro... what was that?
Gatling. Gyro and Gatling.
Gyro, Gatling.
That looks so awkward.
It looked very
Gadget Gatling.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, I get it! He's like Inspector Gadget.
Yeah! Go go gadget Gyro. Go go gadget Gatling.
Exactly.
Go go gadget Gatling.
I think that was the idea.
Giant foot.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
Forze is Kamen Rider Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, yeah, I really think that's it. It's like it all came together for me.
Regardless, it's a pretty neat little fight for a bit until he starts going to his multi fly form, and he doesn't have the net switch, but Osugi does. Osugi actually puts two and two together and tosses him the switch, allowing him to tie the fly up. However, since he's batshit insane and way more far gone than Zodiarts tend to be, Kengo points out blowing him up will probably still leave his mind a complete and utter wreck. So Ron tries to get through to him, does, and then he gets bombed by the Magnet State.
Gets loved to death by the Magnet State. I
like how Magnet State still kept the net switch on the whole time, so he still has this big pink net on his leg.
Yeah, I thought this really touching sequence where, like, she finally reached him, and then, you know...
He pulled him up.
He's like, okay, get out of the way so I can blow him up.
Yeah.
Please get me.
That's nice.
Oh, it was a heartwarming scene where some dude got blown the hell up.
To be fair, Time Ranger did that a couple of times, too.
And then everybody drags her away as soon as she gets through. Like, Kengo and the others are like, okay, come on.
All right, this way. We're going to blow up your friend now.
Yeah.
Your quote-unquote friend. Anyway, the two of them want to join the Kamen Rider Club, and they actually agreed to take them on as trial members, which means we probably won't be seeing them for a while.
And Yuki, even though she's the president,
after they'll be doing bicycle, or they'll be doing dirt bike races in Blue Forest.
Yeah, it proves that Kengo is really the actual one in charge, so...
Well, that's no surprise.
Yeah. He just doesn't want the responsibility of people calling him president. That way
he's the one in charge, but he does not have the need to take on the day-to-day tasks of running the thing.
Yeah, he probably doesn't want to either.
No, he just wants to go make switches.
He only has one left, actually. Anyway, yeah. Osugi decides to be the air faculty advisor, so that way the Kamen Rider Club can, you know, continue to function.
He could have just not told anybody about it. That would have worked, too.
Yeah, but now he
But that's not as creepy.
But yeah, here's the thing. Well, here's the thing. Remember what he was told earlier.
What, that a teacher is giving out the switches?
Yes. Oh, yeah, this is true. He does know that. Which could actually prove useful if he actually tells them, because he doesn't think he has yet.
No, probably not.
Regardless, while Kengo looks utterly disgusted, and Ryusei is like, oh, really? And everybody else just wants to ignore this. Yuki and Gintaro are quite excited at this revelation now.
It's Osugi time!
Osugi Kita!
Now, the face is during the countdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
but there's one little bit left in the episode where we cut back to Ryusei's old school, where all the depressed students have an Amanogawa student who transforms into the Aries Zodiart, one of the...
You mean the Aries Zodiart?
Yeah, do not mispronounce stuff tonight, man. You're f***ing not kidding around, dude.
Ariesu.
Aries.
No, Ariesu.
The one Ryusei's been looking for.
And then his watch breaks.
forgot to use like a TV Nihon pronunciation. You know, like Wario Zugiru Sama.
No. Aerith being the Final Fantasy pronunciation.
Yeah. Aerith. He's going to die, and then, you know, he's going to be sitting down to this lake all.
And nobody will ever shut the f*** up about it.
Yeah, because how beautiful it is.
Which is bullshit.
Yes. Anyway, next week, they're working on the 40th and last Astro Switch.
Now, here's the thing. Why did Kengo's watch break?
That's a good question.
Ryusei's. And apparently it was when he got...
Why did Ryusei's watch break? It's his friend that's in a coma, a Time Lord?
No, well, I'm wondering if his friend's not in the coma anymore, and he's the...
I'm kind of wondering if...
He's actually Ares now.
No, I think the one in the coma is the one that Libra went to visit when he took off earlier.
I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being something like the virus, Dopant and Double, where that lady was, you know, stuck in a coma, but her consciousness was controlling the Dopant from beyond, and there might be something that ends up like that later on.
Mm.
See, what it should be with the friend in the coma is that he's been last one.
But it's not covered in cobwebs.
Well, I know that, but that's not really the
take
point.
Take cobwebs
right now.
Off.
Maybe they will be next time they see him.
Maybe the cobwebs wear off after a little while.
But yeah, I suspect obviously there's something big that's going to happen with this particular horoscope just because of Ryusei having been searching for it the whole time, and that's the one that Tachibana wants.
So probably after this, Meteor's going to be completely reduced to grunt cleanup for the rest of the series.
Probably, because in 2 weeks we will have Cosmic States.
And see,
about that time they will finally reveal Meteor's identity.
Which is what I've been trying to say. With Osugi running the club now, basically, he needs to, like, piece together... Okay, Ryusei must be the other writer then, because he always disappears.
That would be fantastic if Osugi was the first one to figure it out.
Yeah. Just to screw with your expectations.
Yes.
Don't we think Tomoko's figured it out?
I think she may suspect, but...
Who can tell with Tomoko?
Yeah, it's kind of hard, unless she comes right out and says it.
Yeah, it's hard. What?
But yeah, man, Ryusei's school.
Ryusei's, the Meteor Storm Shaft?
No, the
yeah.
school.
The school. I call it Nut Slap High.
Nut Slap High?
I called it Dinah Beige School.
Dinah Beige School.
Walk in the door, and it's like...
It looks like the official color.
Well, as I was saying, isn't that... I think that's
it
the same...
It looks like Kai decoed it.
I was saying last week, I think it's the same uniform Nadeshiko was wearing in the Mega Man movie. It is. So, yeah.
So, I guess there's only two schools in that entire part of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, but still, it's kind of interesting. Of course, I can't really speculate anything without having seen Mega Man yet.
Wait, what do you mean it looks interesting?
Yeah, it looks sad.
Well, no. It's just interesting that we saw that, you know, before, and now it's only part of it. I was like, oh, that's the same uniform.
I bet it rains at that school every day of the year.
It probably does. Yes. No matter what, it's always raining there.
That's why I always make sure to come with umbrellas.
There's kids walking down the hall just like flagellating themselves like with a whip.
maybe it's an Inway school.
Actually, that would work.
Inway school. There's a bridge right next to it. And that's how they get home.
No. The entire interior of the school is bridges.
I was thinking they swim up the river to get to and from school, and then they have to jump off of it when they get off.
And all the girls in the school have mental powers.
And mental problems.
Well, same thing. It's Inway.
Yeah.
And I assume the main core subject is music.
Oh, probably so.
Music and bridge building.
Nice. Maybe with a side of cooking, because the food is always important, too.
And also, I believe that the nurse's office always has a much higher
casualty rate
of students going blind.
Oh.
I like the XB's answer better.
Very high mortality rate in that nurse's office.
No. It's not going to be mortality rate in the nurse's office when you go when they kill them when they die from killing themselves in the womb.
So anyway.
Oh, Kiva.
Okay.
Exactly.
Time travel abortions.
God.
Gotta save that one.
There's an intro quote?
Sadly, yes.
Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, that's at least as funny as Fort Mac going cancer, cancer, cancer.
Cut out the right? joke, but you leave in time travel abortions?
I'm going to bleep over that, too.
Oh, good.
No, that basically happens in Kiva.
What you should bleep that in with is you cut out Tim Curry.
We'll see if I remember that when I'm actually editing.
You won't.
No, probably not. So I think it's time for a break before this goes any farther.
Yeah, I gotta use the restroom.
Oh, well, good idea then.
Yeah.
We'll be back with Power Playback, and maybe Ken will be back from the bathroom again.
Ha!
Final Kamen Raido.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, y'all, the Street Fighter 3.
Listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
Kamen Rider what?
It's the destroyer of podcasts. Yeah, enough about Fort Max. So, due to somebody's suggestion, I don't know whose, but... someone suggested watching Decade and the World of Ryuki.
I'll give it that it made more sense than Kamen Rider Black.
That's because this was a complete storyline.
Oh, almost.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was that one little bit left unresolved at the end, but for the most part, for all the important
story.
All the important stuff got resolved in these two episodes. So, Paladin, tell us a little bit about the World of Ryuki.
All right, in the... third world the Decade crew has arrived in. Natsumi has gone to a magazine to see if she can find out some information about the Kamen Riders and is being served a piece of cake when the editor of the magazine suddenly falls over dead.
I guess this the cake was a lie.
Yeah, she should have dropped that f***ing fork.
She should have dropped her head based on the kind of attack that it was, but apparently not.
She's not that bright sometimes.
Sometimes.
Based on what happens later, I was like, holy crap, her whole head should have come.
It depends on how the writer's feeling that day.
Yeah,
this is true. Natsumi kind of bounces back and forth between, I like her, and then, oh my god.
Just like everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, except Tsukasa. Tsukasa's always a dick, so.
Well, he's that way to everyone, so.
But he was the one I always related to the most in the cast.
I know, right?
I guess what we're trying to say is Tsukasa is Dix.
Yes, he is.
Obviously. Look at the hair.
Well, in Yusuke's always useless.
Which design? It changes every week.
Right. Well, that's part of being Dix.
Yes.
Also douche. I'm sorry, what were we talking about?
Decapitation?
The people in the magazine, including a young man named Shinji, will become important later, sort of.
Gee, I wonder how.
are all shocked at the apparent death of their editor-in-chief.
How was she not decapitated? This is what I want to know.
Because
she is here
still
later.
Mostly a kid's show.
I mean, well, I guess so, but it's still like literally the shot is like she grabs the back of her neck and falls over, you know? And they're like, oh, she was cut. What? I don't know. Anyway.
So back at the photo hut, Grandpa is chasing around a cock.
Hey, it's when Kivara still had CGI.
Yeah.
And when Kivara was still relevant.
No.
Are you sure about that? Because I think the only time Kivara was actually relevant was when Natsumi used her to transform.
Well, no, there was
well,
a time.
Spoilers,
at, no,
yeah.
She was slightly relevant at the end of the series when
slightly.
She advanced Yusuke's transformation and to also turned him evil, which never actually happened, apparently. I don't know.
Given how relevant that is the fact that I completely forgot that even happened.
Right.
Because it's Yusuke.
Yeah. And again, that was never followed up on.
Because it's Yusuke.
Well,
and it's Decade.
Yeah, because Decade final chapter never actually had anything
resolved
to do with
anything?
The last episode. So
yeah.
And never actually happened again because Decade.
I can't wait to see what Superhero Tyson ends up retconning with Decade. Because it'll fuck something up.
Of course it will. Because it's a Decade.
Well, if he
writers.
Uses the Ghost Sager cards, we can blame them too.
Him, Blade, and Ryuki.
DN could use one too.
He totally could, but he's too good for that, thankfully.
He could have like a Ghost of Night card then.
He'd just steal them.
That would work.
Well, yeah, and DN wouldn't actually transform into one anyway.
Oh, DN summoning Ghost of Night would be kind of cool.
Or DN summoning all five Ghost Agers just to be
his foot soldiers.
His cannon fodder, yeah.
Or just
work.
To go and
they'd be about as effective as riot troopers.
Less, probably. That'd be satisfying, actually.
Okay, so, but the episode we're talking about...
Okay. Tsukasa steps in with his new role for this new world, having taken more pictures, which are still kind of f***ed up, proving this isn't where he belongs either.
And looking extra douchey in those sunglasses. Not sunglasses, eyeglasses.
Hipster goggles.
Hipster goggles, thank you.
So, as he and Useless step outside to examine the Ryuki world...
Let's keep with that.
He's Useless, a useful Kuga.
Useless notices a badge on Tsukasa's coat that marks him as a defense attorney. And conveniently, a big-screen TV starts announcing the murder of the editor-in-chief and the arrest of the suspect.
That's Natsumi.
With a horrible mugshot.
Well, of course it's horrible. It's a mugshot.
Yeah, it looks like she's trying to pout to it, though.
Well, Japan, female, it's normal.
Yeah. They all look like that.
So Natsumi is brought before the Kamen Rider trial system for judgment.
Because in this version of Ryuki, everybody is Zolda.
This is fantastic. I love this episode just for that shit.
The 13 Kamen Riders, well, it's probably just like 11 in this world, will fight in the mirror dimension, and whoever wins will decide the fate of Natsumi.
Because they block out a few of them.
Right. We know Fem
those are ones that were already defeated.
Dead.
We know Siren and Onyx don't appear, probably not Camo either, because he was just another movie exclusive. But
yeah.
Instead, they do add Abyss to it, so...
Yeah.
Maybe
well,
12?
Yeah, it'll be exclusive, and D-End isn't here yet.
We get to see Ryuga later, anyway.
Yeah. Not in this episode, but later.
No. Actually, we get to see him twice, don't we?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
So, the trial battle is underway, with the riders picking their various sides.
I like that it's just, like, it's not even about any kind of opinion or justice. It's just like this gladiator battle, like whichever one actually agrees with you, hope they win.
And as they fight, we get to hear some opinions from a few of the writers,
and they're still trying to give their opinions during it, even though it doesn't really entirely matter.
Oh, and I was wrong, Camo is in this. He's beating up Incisor, which is kind of appropriate.
Because everybody beats up Incisor.
And then he gets eaten.
Because they say later on, Kamen Rider Incisor has like a 0.06% victory rating.
In a way, it kind of reminds me of Tiger and Bunny.
Speaking of which, Kamen Rider Tiger is also fighting. And losing to Zolda.
Well, Zolda would have an advantage in a lawyer setting.
But then Incisor is interrupted again by Batman.
Yeah, and those shitty Ryuki motorcycles. I hate those. Those
the ride shooters?
Yeah.
That's Ryuki, Kamen Rider card games on motorcycles.
It does actually kind of favor the bikes from 5Ds, though.
The motorcycles for the survive modes were always nicer looking.
Well, those were animals that turned into motorcycles.
Yes, I know. But they look nicer than ride shooters.
So, aside from the battle, Tsukasa comes to the police headquarters to act as Natsumi's defense attorney.
And he is such a dick. He just antagonizes her the entire time while she's handcuffed.
Yes.
Well, of course, because he can block the nerve pinch.
Yeah, he can get away with it at the moment.
But Useless can't, so she just attacks him instead.
Because he's...
kind of sad.
Shinji comes with him because he was the first witness to the murder scene. And he's, well, about as helpful as Shinji was during the rest of Ryuki.
Oh.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, to tell you who he is.
So, Shinji goes off with Useless and Tsukasa and explains his backstory with Kamen Rider Knight and his own history as Ryuki, spoiler.
And then what happens?
That's when Decade pulls out his morpher and decides to join in the Rider War.
Let's morphing?
Let's henshining.
Let's Kamen
ectophase activating.
Oh, Scissors is still getting his ass kicked also at this point.
Of course, it's Scissors.
So sad.
So Decade drives up to confront Knight and admits that he has a different kind of card from the ones the other guys use.
I like how both of like the card theme writers stack right on top of each other in Decade's, because it goes right from Ryuki to Blade.
Huh. Yeah.
Although Decade doesn't have much in the way of cards right now. All he has is Kiva and Useless's powers.
And a couple of attack cards.
Yeah, which
in addition to his own.
Well, he can probably use them better than Yusuke ever could, so.
Yeah.
But he almost never used Kuga anyway.
Yeah.
Because he saw how useless Yusuke was and figured...
Except to stick a sword up his ass.
This is... Yeah.
Well, and even then, that wasn't using the card himself. It was just making Yusuke transform.
To stick a sword up his ass.
Yeah.
That's about all he was good for.
Very nice.
And then they meet... Go ahead.
So that kind of makes you wonder.
What?
You think the only good thing Yusuke is for is getting something up his ass?
So anyway, Decade goes back and meets up with the deputy editor from the magazine, who turns out to be the Decade exclusive writer, Kamen Rider Abyss.
Well, I'm sure that doesn't mean anything.
Of course not.
Of course not.
So the two of them go back to the Kamen Rider battle.
And yes. Make babies?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Yes.
Well,
little half barcode, half shark babies.
Oh, God.
Barcodes are all the rage.
Nope.
I hear that Angelina Jolie is going to adopt a barcode baby.
Okay, meanwhile, Useless goes off to confront Ren at his apartment about his relationship with Shinji
as the
Kamen Rider battle goes on.
You heard him.
As Decade is attacked by Kamen Rider Spear.
I never liked him.
Well, it's Ryuki. Most of them don't matter. So about this time, Shinji finally remembers that he has a Kamen Rider morpher too. So So finally Ryuki appears in Ryuki World and they finally join the Rider battle.
Well, that took a while.
Most of the episode.
And at the same time, Natsumi's watching the coverage of the trial battle as Rider by Rider is slowly eliminated. Well,
it's that footage again.
What?
Rider War footage?
Yes, Natsumi flashes back to her nightmare from the very first episode.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, that happens so often it's almost not even worth mentioning. It's like various things and, well, I want to say Gundam Seed again, but that's kind of predictable at this point.
No, I like this better than Seed.
Well, Seed is still better than Destiny.
Anyway, Decade confronts Knight and decides to match Bat for Bat, so he changes into Kamen Rider Kiva. And then matches all of Knight's various attack cards with all of Kiva's form changes.
He would have been better off using Kuga. There's a lot more form changes.
Yeah, but Kiva's more useful than Kuga.
This is true.
This version of Kuga, anyway.
Yeah, how would Becky know about Kuga's form changes?
Well, Kuga used the form changes in the first episode. Well, yeah. Second episode.
Both of them.
And never
again. I mean the second episode of the series, but the first episode of the Kuga.
Yeah.
And never again.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Because Yusuke.
But he did transform into ultimate form in the movies.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, it did a whole lot of good.
Only for Double to come and save their asses.
Because Double, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, but that's okay because it's Shotaro.
Yeah.
Shotaro could come and do that in every subsequent Rider series, and I'd be completely okay with it.
Well, Mega Max is next month.
Yeah, I know. He just needs to keep doing it, though.
Yes.
And, you know, if they can't get Philip back, then he can just come as Joker.
Works for me.
Yep.
Just as long as you can get Rin Kiriyama, it's fine.
Yes. JD's over
and maybe
there
have Excel punch everyone again.
I have no f***ing idea what's going on.
JD needs to watch Double.
He does. I keep telling him that. Yeah, JD. Okay.
Look at it like this. If you like Forze, you will love Double, probably.
If you like anything, you'll like Double.
Wow, okay.
If you like breathing,
you'll love Double.
JD, do you like things that are awesome? Then you'll love Kamen Rider Double.
Do you like things that are awesome and dislike things that are not awesome? Then you'll love Double.
Then comes the problem of overhyping it, I realize.
I don't think you can overhype Double, though. Once you get past the first four episodes, there's nothing but good.
I think even the first two.
Well, I think it takes through the first four or so to really, you know, hit its mark.
That's true. The one with the politician and the little girl was actually probably the best first, you know, the first really, really good episode.
But when you get to,
like the description of a really good episode.
But when you get to the one with Heaven's Tornado, that's where it really takes off.
That sounds like the description of a good episode.
Actually, once you get past Heaven's Tornado, everything is awesome.
No, but Heaven's Tornado is the first one where it is awesome.
Heaven's Tornado is terrible.
Oh, no, Heaven's Tornado is great on a conceptual level.
You guys are doing a really good job of selling me on this series.
You know, because Philip refuses to go and fight because he has to go and see this dance move.
Oh.
How can you not love that?
Because it was stupid.
Now, see, was that the same episode with Cockroach?
Yeah.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
See, I forget which DuPont was in that episode because all that really matters is the Heaven's
Tornado. You almost said Zodiac, didn't you?
Well, no, I started saying DuPont, then I stopped because I couldn't remember if that was right or not.
I keep getting those mixed up nowadays because they're basically the same thing.
Yeah, they really are. But yeah, JD, you need to watch Double or some. We need to have something that we can like freshly talk about for the whole time we're in the car with Kilby.
That's a good idea.
I was actually going to suggest before that me and you need to learn to sing like some of the Japanese theme songs.
Well, I still need to. I didn't get a chance to learn the Go Buster theme yet, but the dance. But I need to do that.
Just blare it through a speaker somehow.
Yes.
Well, I've got an MP3 player and an FM transmitter that plugs into the cigarette lighter.
Even better.
Oh, man.
And
what
see,
about
it'll
a cassette tape adapter?
Yeah, I've got a cassette. I've got a cassette adapter too, but I don't know if the cars will be in. Will have.
Yeah.
I
have a cassette adapter, but nothing with a cassette now. So.
But JD, we're gonna be taking your car from Oklahoma City. So what do you have?
I've got an auxiliary and a USB plug-in. So.
Oh, you got a USB in it. That's
oh cool. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a second market deck, so, or aftermarket deck, I guess you call it. So,
but yeah, you know, since it'll be your car, we can play whatever we want to over the radio.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He'll be sitting back. He's sweet.
Works for me.
Nice.
We are going to make Kilby totally regret bringing me and picking you up.
Yes.
So how about that second episode of Decade?
Yeah.
We still have to do that, don't we?
Before we segued off the cliff.
Well, that was the break between episodes, you know.
You can cut that out cleanly, right?
So all last right. week on Decade.
Shinji, Ren, and Decade are blasted out of Mirror World by Abyss.
Crap, where'd my screw go?
Not again.
You still trying to fix the Golden Power staff?
Actually, I just sold it. For a $2 investment, I made $16 off it.
Damn.
Hell yeah.
Uh-huh. Of course, the Zeo Blaster and Quasar Launcher didn't sell even for a couple bucks each, so.
Wow.
Sad trombone. Yeah, for $2.99, nobody wants a Quasar Launcher. I don't know what the deal is.
The deal is that it's a Quasar Launcher.
Except it's a pretty cool toy.
It's a Quasar Launcher. Who even remembers?
You should put that in the description. It's a pretty cool toy.
I may have, actually.
Who even remembers the freaking Quasar Launcher?
I even remember the power-up version.
Wow. Anyway, Decade?
Right, that thing.
Well, you know, we started that, but then I lost my screw.
Okay, despite being in horrible pain, Ren decides to go back into Mirror World because he wants to track down Kamen Rider Wrath.
Why, what'd he do?
Well, we don't find out until later.
Well, his name is Kamen Rider Wrath, that's a good start.
Let's see, which one was Wrath?
And Ryuki is Kamen Rider...
He's in Prime, and for that, Fufo hates him.
Who is he? Who is he in Ryuki again?
Odin.
Odin, right.
Oh, that one. Well, no wonder he wants to track him down. He's the one that makes no damn sense.
Even for Ryuki.
Ryuki was so screwed up. As it got toward the end, anyway.
Dragon Knight had its moments, though.
Well, Dragon Knight didn't use the same story.
Which was one of the big moments. Alright, in the meantime, Shinji, Decade, and Useless stop to have lunch at the Photoshop. Where they immediately suspected what they're eating is the chicken he was chasing earlier.
Poor cock.
Mm.
So basically they're eating Grandpa's cock.
How long did you work on that?
Oh, that just came to me.
Uh-huh, sure, okay.
Yeah,
now,
the cock
had...
just came to you.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, like it does.
If Paladin hadn't mentioned his cock earlier, I wouldn't have even thought of it.
You wouldn't have thought of his cock? That's awesome.
Right.
I'm actually thankful for that.
Whenever you talk about your cock, I think about it.
Oh.
Oh, and speaking of creepy stuff, Natsumi gets a visit from Narutaki.
And stuff that makes no sense.
Because it's Narutaki.
Yes. Who never makes any sense because he's never resolved.
Because
and
it's
still
Narutaki.
Won't be in, and still won't be in Superhero War.
But because he'll be in there.
Because he's the evil doctor.
He might as well be.
He's...
That's more explanation than they ever gave about him.
He shows up out of nowhere. He does crazy shit. He has the same weird taste in wardrobe.
So he's the master?
Yeah, whatever.
No, he doesn't have a beard.
That's because he's Japanese.
So is Date.
Yeah, but Date's like all middle age and stuff. In Rescue Force 5 years earlier.
Yeah. That middle he age was, of 29 was, years old.
He was middle age 5 years before he was younger.
Oh, God. Arcade! Narutaki! Natsumi!
This isn't my fault.
Yes, Gosh. It is.
This is all Decade's fault.
This is all Decade's fault for being not that interesting to talk about.
Alright, so back at the attempt at the plot, Tsukasa calls for another meeting with Natsumi, where he and Useless and Shinji and I don't care know what the hell Abyss's human name is, and I don't really care that much.
Bit.
They've agreed that Ren is the actual murderer. For some reason.
Okay.
Because he was there, and he's creepy.
Well, whatever.
The only holdout against that is Shinji. Because Ren used to be his partner.
Huh?
It's exactly what you think it means.
Oh, so just like in Ryuki.
Exactly. At roughly the same time, Kamen Rider Knight finally tracks down Odin and manages to final vent him, taking his cards for as a souvenir. Shinji recognizes that what he's taken includes the time vent card.
This was the worst game of Pokemon ever.
Actually, it's more like a game of Yu-Gi-Oh, I think.
Yeah, it was right around that time when Yu-Gi-Oh was becoming popular. So mm-hmm. Kamen Rider and Digimon both crammed cards into their shows.
And, well, see, with Digimon, the cards...
At least they already had a card game, yeah.
Well, yeah, there was a basis for that. Just like with the, you know, the little electronic gadgets that was based on the original Digimon toys, however loosely. Right.
But they both still came around at the same time because of Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, I'm just saying that with Digimon, you know, shoehorning in the card game fit. You know, it was thematically appropriate. With Ryuki, it didn't really make any particular sense.
All right, as Ren explains what the time vent card does, the Abyss pops out of the mirror to try and kill him, which tips off Decade that Abyss is the real killer.
Oh, shit!
Really? I didn't figure that out, like, I don't know, last episode?
Well, and it goes beyond that, too, because if you were familiar with Ryuki to start with, you would know, oh, hey, that's a new guy, so he must be the villain.
This is the worst episode of CSI ever.
It's a guy you haven't seen before. Oh, well.
And so if dimension hopping made little sense as it is, now we're going to have dimension hopping with time travel.
Yes. They go back in time and throw the editor-in-chief out of the way of Abyss's Kamehameha wave.
Actually, that's what the Destructo disc.
And to go back to what I said, that thing like tears up the couch and stuff. It would have flung her head off.
It really would have.
Yeah.
And yet they thought it was just a fork.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, how could you mistake that for a fork? Like, she would have been like nearly
headless. That's what they were saying in show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I need my screw.
This was the worst episode of Quantum Leap ever.
Worst episode of Doctor Who ever.
Yeah, this episode of Sliders sucked. Oh, wait. I guess that makes it like every episode of Sliders.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Still better than that one episode of Voyager.
It all comes around.
Yeah, well, that one episode of Voyager, you know.
Yeah, JD, I think we actually even transplanted that over to RFC one week when you were absent.
That's awesome.
Sweet. I'm so proud.
It's good to see that I'm touching people everywhere.
I need an adult.
I thought we'd stop talking about Grandpa's cock.
Show us on the figure art where JD touched you.
JD is the adult here.
Yes, that was the setup, man. Come on.
Where are my suspenders? Damn it.
Snap, snap, snap.
Snap, snap, snap. Anyway, I'm sorry. There was a card game. We went back in time. They cut off the girl's head, but didn't. And then what?
He played his trap card.
Gossa landed on Natsumi.
Saving the editor's life so she, Shinji, and Ren can all make up and be friends again, because that matters for some reason. While Abyss confronts Decade yet again.
But if they went back in time and stopped the murder, didn't all this never happen?
Don't question it. We'll just be here forever.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was all fixed. I think that was all fixed when they did like the retroactive take them apart and put them together when they did the merged with the past editor and the... That fixed all that.
And isn't there another Tsukasa running around here right now?
Just what we need.
There can only be one Tsukasa.
Right.
Thank God.
Okay, so the current one goes and cuts off the past one's head and absorbs his power?
Why not? That's basically how original Ryuki worked.
That's true.
Yeah. And I really don't think Tsukasa would have a problem with killing himself in the past.
He really wouldn't.
Dan certainly didn't.
No.
Actually, this is probably why Tsukasa doesn't know where the heck he's from or have any memories of his past.
This was the worst episode of Heroes ever.
So like every episode of Heroes.
Yeah.
worst episode of Dragon Knight ever.
No, that's too meta.
Too meta.
You can't make that joke. That's too meta. Yeah.
There's too meta at this point?
Yes. That is it. You have found the line, sir. Back.
Oh, I'm not sure whether that's worse than Fort Max's plot support switch joke. Because that was pretty bad.
Anyway.
So, Ryuki teams up with Decade one last time just to get the contractually obligated payoff line for every episode of Decade.
Now, remember, he's just passing through.
I'm a Kamen Rider passing through.
Remember? I'm just passing through, destroying your worlds.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yes.
And that it will tickle a little.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless you're the end.
And then it's just going to sting.
Yes. Because he's made, because he has teamed up with Ryuki, Decade has unlocked the powers of Ryuki.
Don't question it. Just
That's how it works in all the other worlds.
Yeah.
So his first card is Final Form Ride Ryuki.
Ryuki it's probably Drag Rider.
Transforming Ryuki into Dragon Mode.
It's one of the few Final Form Rides that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with some stuff, there's just no choice but to not make sense, like with Kiva Arrow.
Or Hibiki.
Well, at least Hibiki had the
didn't make a lot
gimmick.
Of sense to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, at least, you know, Kabuto transforms into the Zector, so that kind of, or Giant Zector anyway, but that kind of works, but it works best with Ryuki, I think, out of everybody.
Well, and Kuga transformed into the bike power-up.
Yeah. It still works best with Ryuki.
But I mean, you have to admit,
Blaster, I guess I can see the logic in that.
Well, and you have to admit too that Deno transforming into Momotaros makes a certain amount of sense.
Oh yeah, but this is the coolest one, regardless.
I guess. Well, it probably is the one that works best as a toy, also.
Yeah.
Because
I haven't bought any of the Final Form rides.
Well, because the thing with that is, when you get that toy, you get a decent Ryuki figure, and you also get the shield and attackment power-up part that are part of the transformation.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's the best realized as the toys go.
Plus, they get some pretty good CGI in this fight, too.
Although, I'll admit, Blade transforming into the Blade Rouser, it has a certain appeal to it, too.
Yeah, it's pretty... Especially
because they call it the Blade.
Yeah, the best use of that though was in when Takara used it anyway.
Well, yeah, they all have their moments.
So Decade plays his last card, Final Attack Ride, and uses the Ryuki Rider Kick to finally vent Kamen Rider Abyss. Except,
well, that didn't quite work out. How
kind
we
of not.
And hey, isn't he like bleeding green?
He's a Vulcan.
He's the same species as Bosco.
No, he's undead.
He's an Orphanok?
This is the worst episode of Walking Dead ever.
Although somebody, I don't remember who, but somebody on Twitter recently made a really good point that probably the original intent for the name of the undead would be more like the immortals.
Yeah, that does make more sense.
In which case you could probably expect that they were trying to go for a name like the Undying rather than the Undead.
Yeah, because they're not really zombies.
No, they're immortals.
Yeah, so it does make more sense. So it's It's English f***ed up.
It's like meta English.
It's Goldbuster English.
Which, you know, meta English in Japan would be how they would say metal English.
God. So anyway, Narutaki takes Abyss to the Blade World, and yeah.
And that happens.
So they meet back up at the Photoshop yet again, as Grandpa chases yet another cock around.
It's the same one.
How do you know?
Because it's in the past.
Oh God, it is.
See, this
they can
is
save
why
that poor chicken.
This is why it stopped making sense.
Oh, my head.
I understood it. I watched too much Doctor
this
Who.
This is the worst episode of 7 days ever.
Bravo, sir. You f***ing win.
I don't even know what the f*** 7 days is.
It is an amazingly terrible show about time travel that totally fits this.
Well, it's amazingly terrible in one way, but it's like hilariously awesome.
It's one of those shows that's so bad it went all the way around to being awesome. Because the time travel makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Although, well, it makes no sense in one way, but they put some kind of thought into it because the time machine has to move in space to pick up the Earth again on the other side of the time jump.
No, that's not even the worst bit. The worst bit is, how is there not 500 of that dude running around when he jumps back in the past 7 days where he is?
Right.
Exactly.
I thought about that too. See, at one point they seem to imply that the past one disappears and merges with the one that's arriving.
Okay, but they only did that like maybe two-thirds of the way through the series, not even the first season.
Oh, this would give me a headache.
Oh my god, that is the perfect reference for the time travel in this episode. Bravo, sir.
Okay, so Tsukasa throws the chicken out the window and episode done.
Thank
it's a Blade world, and we're not covering that.
No, but first, Grandpa's
doing that.
Well, no, and first they're like, "Wait, we're already done with Ryuki's world? What?
We just got here." Yeah, so God, I'm just that awesome.
And then Grandpa's cock slams into the photo backdrop.
Ow!
And it's
Rouser cards everywhere.
And it teleports them to the world of Blade.
And the world of Blade has such a great concept compared to the actual Blade.
Well, it's kind of...
Is that really hard?
Yeah. It's not very difficult, actually.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed watching Blade a lot. But at the same time...
I still need to actually get past 5 episodes.
At the same time, I would love to see a series using the decade world of Blade setting.
Oh. Well, they apparently really liked it because he intended to go back to it later on.
Fair
at
enough.
Least somewhat. Because they bring that Blade back towards the end. Of course, then again, the end was,
But yeah, that was some decade, wasn't it?
Extremely.
Like all decade, that was some decade.
Huh?
It's about the same as all decade. Is that about all you can say?
Yeah, pretty much.
Decade is decade.
It sure is. But hey, it was a thing to watch on a week when we had nothing to watch.
Yet I still like it better than Fours.
Screw watching O's. I'm going to download Seventh Day.
Uh-oh. Double.
Screw watching Double. That's perfect. No, don't screw watching Double. Screw watching O's. That's perfectly good. You need to watch Double.
Yeah, he was correct without even thinking about it.
Wow. Okay. I don't know what I'm watching. All I know is I should watch that 7 Days show. That was, man. Every once in a while, I see that poor bastard in another TV show. I'm like, hey, he had his own show for 10 seconds.
Actually, it was like 4 seasons.
I know. That's what's really sad.
But
it was on UPN, and nobody watches UPN.
That's how I never heard about it. It's like
some people don't even realize UPN is off because they didn't even watch it to begin with. So.
Well, see, that's why I never heard about
this
show.
They probably think the Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer is still on.
Yeah, my God.
But no, I mean, one of the awesome parts of 7 Days was one time they had another thing come from the future, and the inside of it was a Star Trek set.
Oh, my God.
Like,
Paramount show.
Yeah, an unmodified Star Trek set.
Well, that explains why such a terrible show kept going.
Well, that was just one episode.
Didn't it premiered, I thought, like at the same time as Voyager. I thought it.
Oh, no. No, okay. Cause
was it the next year?
Voyager was one of UPN's launch shows.
Right.
And
that explains a lot.
Every UPN launch show except for Voyager was canceled.
Yeah, because it was. Well, I guess the other one was. Who's that comedian that killed himself? Because he had a show on about that time, I think, that was on UPN too.
The show was Platypus Man, right?
Yes, Platypus Man, but I can't remember.
I don't remember the guy's name, which is probably why he killed himself.
It probably is.
Yeah, that's sensitive.
Well, it's not like he's going to care. He's dead.
Exactly. He's dead. He doesn't care.
Richard Jenny?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think that sounds right. Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
I always wondered what happened to him.
He died. He killed himself.
Seriously, I have wondered what happened to him.
Yeah, he killed himself.
Oh. Yep.
But yeah,
he had like one HBO special like after that, and then he was like, "Man, I did a terrible show on UPN. The only way out is to die."
But yeah, think
maybe
about
he
that.
Sat down and watched the show.
That's probably what happened.
Think about that for a second, though. Out of all the shows UPN started with, Voyager is the one they decided to keep.
Mm. Yeah, there were some bad shows on UPN. Really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah. Then it went under and merged with WB.
And now
look
it's
how that turned out.
Still full of really bad shows.
Yep. Yeah.
Awesome.
And most of the time it's just old syndication reruns now.
Yeah.
That was a really positive move.
Yeah.
Because you know what everybody's going to be watching on a Tuesday night is old reruns of Law and Order.
God.
In prime time.
Brilliant!
Ow!
That's fantastic. So hey, guess what we're watching next week, finally.
Do I want to know?
Kaiju versus Gavin?
We sure are.
Ooh! Ooh! Yes. I'll be here next week.
Sweet.
If you want me.
Is that a suggestion or a threat?
Yes.
Actually, I think it's more like begging.
A little bit. It's a little begging.
Part threat, so part begging, part suggestion.
If nothing else, I'm always good for intro quotes.
That's true.
Just use an intro quote, but don't actually have them in an episode.
Aw, that's not fair. No, I'm going to have rights to my voice unless I'm here.
Right. On the internet.
Well, I don't think you'll be in the intro this week, but I can put you in next week's.
What?
Well, I already have one made for this week.
Well, then unmake it.
But once the thing is made, it cannot be unmade.
Oh, it can. Oh, yes.
Well, yeah,
can
but, gain you know.
Anything without losing anything?
But, you know, if I unmake it, then I gotta, like, make a new one, and that's work.
Destroy everything. Connect everything.
Yeah, Damn Deckard it. Sure did a good job of that.
Destroying everything?
And connecting everything.
Well, it destroyed everything.
No, I think they just stopped at the destruction.
I don't even think they really got that far.
We've been here for 10 years. Let's f*** it up.
Okay, so I think that'll be it for the show this week.
Okay, then.
Unless anybody
so
has
what
anything
are we going
else
to do after Gokai vs. Gavin?
Well, we're taking that week off, aren't we?
I think so.
No,
or is there another week before that?
No.
Another week before that. What? We're taking the 30th off.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
How about Gavin?
How about no?
How about who saw that one coming?
Did we just want to cycle through the nose real quick and bring up Digimon Tamer, Digimon Frontier?
Digimon Tamers.
Yeah, we could do an episode with Justimon.
Oh, I know. We'll do Cross Wars Hunters.
Ugh!
Cause why?
XP is dick.
Yes.
I
need to be alone.
Fap?
Paladin, can I get you to say that one more time?
What, XP is dicks?
Uh-huh. Because I think I have that from just about everybody now except you. And Mickey, but, you know, Mickey's not around to record that.
You gonna do a clip show with that as an intro quote for everyone?
That would be
well,
fun.
No, I'm not gonna do a clip show. I'm just gonna, once I have that from everybody, yeah, that's gonna be the intro quote for one
for
week.
Everybody. Including you?
Yeah, because I have me saying that several times.
Shit.
Well, that's why XV is dicks.
Yes.
Well, no. Okay, so what could we do after Gokaiger versus Gavin?
Megas XLR?
Well, there is the S-Force SOS episode, isn't there?
There's two episodes with S-Force
episodes.
Yeah, but only one of them was really good. But we'll figure that out another time. All right, thanks everybody for being here, and we will see you next week.
Later.
Bye-bye!
So long.
See ya.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at Superhero_Time for weekly power playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
lot of toilet paper stocked up at your house?
I do.
Oh, good.
We buy that. We go to Sam's. We buy that in bulk.
An air freshener, that would help too.
Oh, no, no. We don't keep any of that around. No, no. We like that raw. Well, I like it raw. But I want to share that communal experience. But I think there is a sensey thing in the bathroom, though. So plug that in, I guess. Like any good southern home, we just keep a bunch of matches on the back of the toilet.
Right. That doesn't really do anything, though.
No, it doesn't. But they do that for some reason.
Yeah, I know. Ugh.
Okay.
So, did you poop again?
No.
I just want to say, JD, do you want to say it or should I?
I'm all over it.
We've been talking about that ever since you left.
No, I did not.
Ken's poop has been a big part of the discussion tonight.
Apparently. Anyway.
We are very concerned about your bowel function, sir.
I think we have another intro quote.
I have some Dulcolax if you need it.
I'm good.
In fact, I've got some Gas-X right here. Gas-X.
Nah, it's cool.
Poop.
There's an intro quote.
Are you kidding? I have like 10 tonight.
Let me see. I have like 2 on here.
Oh, okay.
Really? Oh. Only?
Yeah. I thought I was worth more than that.
Super Hero Time. 次回もお楽しみに。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.